Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation.
And I'm hoping everything works right this time. It's a conversation with Brendan, and I didn't confirm that his microphone's plugged in, so maybe he'll be muted.
Maybe.
For this whole... Oh, darn. I mean, good. It's working. So I told Brendan yesterday that as I was driving around, I listened to my podcast episodes after I record them. Not to edit them, but I listen to them once they get posted. And so the one that I was listening to yesterday was the one we did with Annette a couple of weeks ago. Was it a couple of weeks ago? A week ago?
Something. I don't know. I don't remember time anymore.
It's kind of a blur. And I texted him and I said, I have some new thoughts. So here I am with new thoughts. So
he just kind of ambushed me. I came over to bring him spark plugs for his car. And he's like, see, you came over to record a podcast, right?
And I was
like,
tell you what, I'll leave my car here and you can put the spark plugs in and then maybe not. But so we were talking about God's plan for us, and we had some really good discussion with Annette about what is God's plan. And the thing that got me thinking was I was talking to Mark the other day, who is the way, way, way down the list on favorite siblings, way down the list. But he was saying something the other day, we were just talking, and he said something about, I just want to make sure I'm following God's plan. So I've been thinking about that even more, about what does it mean to follow God's plan? And at the same time, I have been thinking about a book that I think I may have referenced it last week, the book called What Seek Ye by Michael Wilcox. It's his take on questions that Jesus asked during his ministry. And instead of going into a doctrinal explanation of the questions and what Jesus was trying to get to or whatever, it was a way of he himself, Michael, the author, considering the questions for himself, the questions. And the start of that book, well, the title of the book is What Seek Ye? Instead of What Do You Want? He's asking, what are you seeking? And I thought about how does that overlay on our own personal desires? And when I talk about desires, I'm not talking about, that's a very vague sentence. I'm not talking about our, the natural man. I'm not talking about the fact that you may have a desire to, eat Twinkies all day long. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you have a desire to develop your skills in some way, whether that's having a ministry, a personal ministry. My ministry is chocolate cake, or it could be having a career and how you make your mark in the world financially, and I think there's some overlap potentially that you could do that. But I think a lot of times when we think about God's plan for us, now there are two things as I'm thinking through this. This is not scripted. So number one, if we are thinking about God's plan for us, that's where most of my thoughts are. So I'm thinking about what we talked about a week or two ago, that God wants us to return to live with him. Mm-hmm. That part of God's plan. I'm not talking about how the crap stuff that we have to deal with on a daily basis molds us and shapes us into better people. And that fits God's plan for us. So I think those are two different ways of thinking about God's plan. So that's just the introduction. Mm-hmm. But I want to stop talking for a second and see if you have anything that has come up for you or that you want to add.
Not sure if I do right now.
Now, a few weeks ago, you said that you were going to sit there and just be ready to contradict anything that I said that was wrong.
Probably.
So that's your role. That's your purpose. So of those two, what we were talking about specifically a couple of weeks ago was the part of God's plan for us that, and as I'm thinking about it, we probably should come up with a different way, a way to distinguish what are we talking about? Are we talking about the way that God uses the hard experiences of our life to mold us into the people he wants us to become? And I'm not sure what to call that. And then there's a part of God's plan where we are working to, maybe a good way of describing it is we're working to glorify him, which we can do in our personal life, our work life, mm-hmm. our personal ministry, our family life, our et cetera.
Well, kind of two ways I just love to differentiate those is you've got kind of like the grand plan, which is, you know, glorify God as well as return to him. Mm-hmm. But then you've also got your more personalized individual plan, which is all about your own personal growth. For example, like your personal growth plan is probably a lot different than my personal growth plan, which is a lot different than Annette's personal growth plan.
Right.
And so with that, I mean, I do think that's one of the things that God is definitely a little bit more hands-off on and lets us become who we want to become, but also in a way it might even be what can he do with us after we've become what we wanted to become. One thing I was just thinking about too is because in the scripture it talks about him being our Heavenly Father, and mm-hmm. you know, for us we're God's children, and in the same way, like for all of your kids, I'm sure that you had your own individual growth plan for all of us growing up, that from
a little bit,
you know, newborn up to 18 when you were just envisioning kicking us all out of the house.
Yes.
Getting rid of us forever.
The problem is that life happens and it's not necessarily you not following my plan. It's life didn't follow my plan.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. And so with that though, it's like you had that initial like, oh, hey, you know, it would be nice to see this growth pattern, but also just in the fact that, you know, you wouldn't want a bunch of adult kids that are still acting like toddlers. Like you need some, like you want to try and push for some kind of growth. And that's one thing I've actually, looking back, especially over the past year or so, I've realized that a lot of our discussions where I thought you were just being mean and asking hard questions and
forcing us
to think, because, you know, that's not something that is really done. And all that, you know, cognitive thinking or critical thinking skills just is not something you can teach out of a book, but has to be taught from experience.
Right.
But then there's some personal growth that comes from that as well. Yeah, that's one thing I've come to appreciate.
Yeah, we're not often taught how to think. We're taught what to think, and that's in school. A lot of times in church too, we're taught what to think. You need to think this, and so I think that's an interesting way to consider our interaction really with anybody. Allison asked me one time, we were talking about, I don't even know what we were talking about specifically, just an observation she mm-hmm. was making, that why is it that we, our family, our family dinners, for example, our Sunday dinner, mm-hmm. she loves those discussions. She was talking about how we would have the, not necessarily a tough discussion, but a discussion that made us think. And we've had experience with other groups or families or entities that as soon as there's some critical thinking that is required, they get really uncomfortable. and they start they back away from the conversation.
Yeah.
Showing pictures of kids or grandkids or whatever and trying to diffuse some of that pressure. But I think that it's fascinating to me. Anything, and the whole reason I started this podcast was it was a way for me to think about things differently than I had ever thought about them. And that's one of the things that
Well, and the other thing is, at least some people decided that they wanted to move away.
True.
Abby and CJ.
Punks.
Yep.
That's true. And they were part of that group as well. And so I was teaching Elders Quorum. I was teaching the men's group this last Sunday. And one of the things that came up was this question about, so Mark says, I want to make sure I'm following God's plan. And I think a lot of times when we think about, and the words that I'm thinking now to differentiate those two aspects of God's plan mm-hmm. are the macro plan, the big plan, and the micro plan, the individual. I don't even know if it's fair to call it just the individual plan, but it's the detailed, the details of the plan. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we confuse those two. And this is where I think my head was yesterday as I was re-listening to that conversation, that a lot of times, because our language is so messy, that we talk about God's plan. Mm. That's in quotes. And we interchange the detail plan with the big picture plan, thinking that we have to get the details right in order to hit the big picture, to get the big picture plan right. And I think that's where we get stuck a lot of times. If we are, so here's something that got me thinking about it that way. And Mom sometimes will listen to this podcast, and I usually find out the wrong way that I say mm-hmm. something that's embarrassing or whatever. But she talks about the more, even more universal plan than what maybe we have thought about. But God's plan, his plan was for us to come to earth. Mm-hmm. The fact that we're on earth, we are following God's plan. So if that's the case, then we've got this, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. Now we just have to figure out, are we on track? That's not even a fair way of saying it. Are we moving in the right direction? Because on track suggests that we should be at a certain position or a certain level. And I don't think that's the case. Are we moving towards returning to live with him? And I think if we are, if we're tracking in the right direction, the macro plan, the big universal plan, we're following God's plan. And then the micro plan, the small detail-oriented plan, we can take some of the pressure off ourselves. We don't have to guess about that. Mm-hmm. We follow something that is going to let us use our talents, for example.
Yeah.
And then I think, and I've talked about this on the podcast, I think one of the reasons that we have talents is so we can bless people's lives. Mm-hmm. So you have a talent of fixing my car, for example. Just putting that out there. But you have talents. I have talents. Everybody has talents that are designed to give us an opportunity to bless people's lives.
Yeah.
And if we're doing that, then the hang-ups that come, the life is crappy situations that come, that's just the molding. That's just the the way that we become. That's life that happens. It's, I don't know that it's necessarily God orchestrating it. I think he's seeing what happens and saying, yeah, I can use that.
Yeah. Well, and so something that just kind of popped into my head was if you think of a mountain and God's plan is for you to get to the summit of the mountain, mm-hmm. there's a lot of different starting positions around the base of the mountain that you can start from.
Right.
And there's multiple paths up the mountain. And so if you think of like Y Mountain out in Utah, you know, you can follow the dedicated path that goes up, or you can, and that's a little difficult, but not too bad. But you can also approach head on, which is going to be a lot more difficult. Right. Probably going to stumble and trip, and you might even roll down a little bit. Yeah. But as long as you're heading in the right direction, eventually you'll get to the top.
And I think about the experience as a parent that I can try and get your attention and say, I found a path. I found something that works. And you may or may not, you may have moments in your life where you think,
well, yeah, obviously,
I want to do exactly.
I obviously have figured everything out better than you.
So. Obviously. It's not that hard. I've done a lot of wrong things in my life. I've done a lot of things not the best way. But, no, I think that that's, and the journey that you take up the mountain is a different level of hard. And part of that is because the path is different. Yep. Part of that is because your strengths and my strengths are different. And so you may find that it's, so one of my strengths is, I don't know if I should talk about my strengths. Sounds like I'm bragging. I'm not bragging. One of my strengths is connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And so my ability to connect with people makes my journey lighter, more enjoyable. There are people that I know. You might have a sister who's like this, who she's great at connecting with people. It just wears her out. She's not, she doesn't like to people that much. And so that same thing that may give me added strength would draw strength from her. And so because of our natural tendencies, our natural strengths and weaknesses, the byproduct of that is that our journeys are completely individual,
Mm-hmm. Well, and kind of going along with that too, and sticking with the idea of going up a mountain path, even if you're walking side by side with someone, I mean, I'm sure there's been at least a couple of situations that you and Mom have gone through together where you guys have had two different experiences.
Very different experiences.
And yeah, and so sometimes it can be slightly different or extremely different.
Yeah.
Or, and it can be over something big or something as small as the first waffle.
The first waffle, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this a thought, I can't remember where this came up for me the other day, but I'm Googling something quickly while I'm talking because I can. Mm-hmm. But I think there's an assumption that we have that because we're in the same family, that we have similar experiences. Mom and I have been married for almost 34 years, that we would have the same experiences. I have six kids in my family where I grew up. And so there's an assumption that because our parents are the same, that we had the same experience. But this person that I can't remember who it was, so I can't give him credit, said something about how we make the assumption that there are universal experiences, and there aren't. There are 7.88, that was the number I was looking for, 7.888 billion
people on the planet.
We probably did. This is as of 2021.
Oh, okay.
So we're at 8.1 billion, I guess, as of the people clock on. Okay, here we go. I can see people being born and dying. 8,091,226,138, 139, 140, 141, 2, 1. So it's bouncing. So what that means is that there are 8 billion perspectives. Mm-hmm. 8 billion. There are no two people that are exactly alike.
Yeah.
And so the fact that Mom and I have been married longer than we were single doesn't change the fact that any experience that we share is going to still be filtered by my brain and her brain, and we're going to have totally different experiences.
Yeah. Well, and that actually brings up something I remember from last year of I was over here and I don't remember exactly the situation, but Edison was just being a angsty teenager.
Hard to believe that that would ever happen at age 17.
Yeah. But it gave me a little flashback of to me having a similar interaction with mom around the same age and her having a different reaction.
Between you and Edison?
No, between me and mom. Oh, yeah, different reaction between me and Edison.
She treated you differently than she treated Edison?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been working with her on that. She's supposed to treat you guys exactly the same.
But, no, and also thinking of it, so it's, you know, so maybe mom had a change between then and now. And it's also like me and Edison, even though we had some similar experiences, and I think just about everyone goes through a little bit of that angsty teenager phase. But it's like even the two of us, like we're different enough that mom learned how to deal with both of us a little bit better than, you know, just treating everyone the same and kind of personalizing it more.
Yeah. She really has been good at that to get,
like when it comes like Edison and Dalton are pretty different in how they react to
vastly different. Yeah.
Things. And she knows what motivates both of them. And so if she needs either one of them to do something, then she's been very good at finding like, oh, hey, this will motivate Edison, but not Dalton. And this will motivate Dalton, but not Edison.
Dalton, a lot of times, is motivated by food. And so I know that if there's food at my house, Dalton will show up. He doesn't show up for a lot of other things, but he does show up for food. So the question then is, what do we do with that? With that knowledge, the fact that we all have different experiences. I think the hard thing for me to remember is that we are having different experiences, even though we assume the same thing. We have lived in the same country as each other for the last, since you were born. Because I don't think you've left the country. I don't think you've lived out of the country for periods of time. But that doesn't mean that we've had the same experience as really anybody else.
Yeah.
So going back to God's plan for us, because I spent a few minutes. I didn't spend a lot of time because I think I came to a conclusion, but I spent a few minutes thinking about kind of going back to the idea that, am I following God's plan with my, really with anything, with what I'm doing with work, what I'm doing with my family relationships, with what I'm doing socially, am I following God's plan? And I keep going back to that quote, and I can't remember if I read it on the, did I read that quote from the book?
I think at the very beginning.
So maybe. I like it because it, I don't know if I'll be able to come up with it fast enough, but it fits that for me, that, we are, I think sometimes we overthink things, and it's a text to Annette. So where, how come I can't, oh, there it is. I found it. The author of the book, Michael Wilcox, was struggling with the medical decline of his wife. And he was talking to his son. His son was afraid that he would be angry at God when his mom passed away. And he asked, why does he not heal her? And he asked that, you know, because a lot of times we have this belief that if we have enough faith, I know of a family that their son died from cancer. And his wife, the way that I've heard the story, his wife was very protective of faith, so to speak, that you are not to say anything to suggest that he will not survive this. You are not to pray for anything except for that he will survive this. And I think sometimes we misunderstand the role of faith. Maybe we'll have a conversation about faith at some point. I saw a quote the other day that was really interesting that I'm not going to read right now because I can't remember what it was. But he continues in this book and he says, we must be careful not to assume that God is behind all events as their prime mover or say things that may imply it. Not all of the events of our lives are good or bad are, quote, God's plan for us. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think, that's where I started thinking that maybe when we talk about God's plan, we're really talking about two different things. We have God's mm-hmm. big plan. Moses 139 says that his work and his glory, his plan is mm-hmm. to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Mm-hmm. Immortality comes through the atonement of Jesus Christ, the fact that we're going to resurrect. That's done. And eternal life is, now that becomes our role to start working towards living in his presence. He does not need to send problems. Life happens. God does not need to test us or send trials into our lives as though he was the great orchestrator. Life will do a fairly efficient job on his own, and he is wise enough to know when to tweak the system if necessary. So this goes back to my thought from a few weeks ago about mistakes, which mm-hmm. Chris, is this 3 weeks in a row that I shout out to Chris?
Probably.
Unless he deserves it. A, by the way, I do have a new podcast that I just launched yesterday. It's me talking to Chris. It's called Chris's
Podcast Kidding. Takeover?
No, I don't have done that. But so I do need to come up with a better way of explaining it. But I imagine bumper bowling. Mm-hmm. And that if God is the bumpers in bumper bowling, mm-hmm. I can still find a way to screw things up. I can still hit 0 to 9 pins, which would be maybe some definition of failure.
Actually get in the wrong lane.
Could
go get through a fire at the door.
Not that that's ever happened.
A lot of hypothetical situations.
You missed blind bowling with CJ. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't invited.
Because you're one of those punk kids. We didn't want to spend any time with you.
Yeah.
Now you're an adult. We like you more now. But if God's, quote, plan mm-hmm. is to not allow us to make spectacular failures, to not give me the power to take down my own possibility mm-hmm. for salvation, or to remove your possibility for salvation, that feels right to me.
Yeah.
And then the rest is just details.
Yeah. Well, and I think also some of that is it's like he's very hands off unless it is something like that. And that's when he'll step in, still without taking your agency away, mm-hmm. but find a way to change or alter the situation.
Right.
Like hypothetically, if someone was riding a motorcycle and ended up breaking a fuel line and had about a gallon of fuel just dripping down their pants right by the exhaust.
That sounds like a very specific hypothetical.
It is a very specific hypothetical, which may or may not have happened to someone on this podcast.
I didn't know that had a motorcycle.
But, so I mean, there's some instances like that. Or did I ever tell you about the time I almost lost my, or I could have lost my hand on a forklift?
I don't think you did. I did see the video of you having an engine blow up in your face.
Yes, that was pretty spectacular. I did have a nice fireball to my face.
That was the last time you shaved your beard, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was actually a year ago this month.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Maybe we should put the video on the show notes.
we can definitely do that. I think I've got it on my phone. There was this time we were moving a engine, which I looked up the weight of that engine. Engine's about 1,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. It had a chain on it, and we were using the forklift to move it and set it onto the engine crate so we could move this pallet around instead of just having an engine laying there on the floor.
Yeah.
And I was not being very smart, and the engine had to rotate, and I'd grabbed the chain to rotate it, as my boss was picking it up, and my hand ended up on the forklift with the chain over it. And I can't recall exactly how much of the engine was off the ground or if it was completely off the ground. But I knew that if he went up, that chain was going to go through my fingers. If he went down, my hand was going to get sucked farther along the chain. Because it was when he was going down that the chain got pulled that way. Because he was getting ready to set the engine down. And it started turning. Well, luckily another guy was there and we were able to shift it off. But no broken bones, no broken skin, no bruising.
Impressive.
And the fact that my fingers were still attached was like, okay, maybe part of God's plan for me is using my hands for stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that he's going to protect him until at least I fulfill that part of his plan.
Well, that's...
Or kind of going back to what you were saying earlier of part of his individualized personal plan for us is for us to use our talents to bless others. And one of my talents is fixing things with my hands. And
right.
Even though I'm right-handed, I think my left hand does pretty good job at times too.
Well, it would be helpful to keep both hands.
Yes.
Into a lot more better things, a lot more gooder things. I'm wearing my Grandma Jan shirt that says funner.
Oh, nice.
It's gooder than just fun. Yes. So.
Yeah, so I think when we have situations like that, where it is all those near misses, mm-hmm. that God stepped in to save us or lessen the damage to where like someone might come out of a situation with broken bones, but they're still alive.
Right.
Or like mom's car accident where she had some bruising, but the paramedics were surprised that she broke her ankles, but they were surprised that that's all she had done.
Right.
I think part of the reason that God will step in to do that, and I think that kind of going back to faith, that isn't necessarily dependent on faith, because I think with that, it's giving your faith an opportunity to grow.
Yeah.
Because in the scripture, we do need to do an episode on faith, because faith is very interesting.
It is very interesting.
But it talks about, you know, faith being as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain.
Right.
So it doesn't take much faith for God to be able to do great things through you. But I think by being able to look back at some of those instances in your life, mm-hmm. of, oh, hey, you know what? Maybe this was God stepping in and saving me here or here or here. And it could be something big, could be something small. But in the end, him helping pull you out of those situations that you either fell into by your own bad choices or just the world around you, it gives you another opportunity to turn to him and kind of a place to start.
Yeah, I think so. So I found the quote about faith. So maybe, yeah, we'll have a conversation about faith and then I'll read the quote. I'm not going to read it right now. It would get us more sidetracked than we've already been. So I don't know what else I have to say about it. I think that God wants us to be, I think he wants us to make decisions for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily wait for him to tell us what he thinks we should do. I was in a class last week, and there was a guy who was interacting with the coach on the call, and he said something about how I don't know what's right for me to do. I don't know what's right for me to pursue. And I think that's something that a lot of times we get stuck by not knowing, trying to figure out. Because, and I think, and this idea that we have to figure out what God's specific plan for us is, what steps do we take today? I'm realizing more and more that that's not how it works. God is saying, you go do you. You do what is right for you, meaning what do you have a natural gift to do? Go do that. And then, because a lot of times that's going to be using the natural gifts and talents that we have. I don't think, and just to be clear, I'm not saying, I don't think that God is saying, yeah, you should Netflix and chill all day. Mm-hmm. Because that sounds like a lot more fun than doing life. I am saying that if you find something that you're naturally good at, do that. Focus on that. Develop that talent. Develop that gift. Develop that way to serve. And that will be support. I think that'll be supported by God and His inspiration, His blessings, the way that He guides and directs. There you go. Those are the thoughts that I had. Anything else you want to add?
I think that should be it.
Okay, cool. Next week, let's talk about faith versus belief.
That sounds intriguing.
It does sound intriguing. So that's our teaser. We'll just go with that. Faith versus belief. What is faith? What is belief? How do we exercise one or both or the other or both? I don't know. but we'll talk about something good next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?